Hello and welcome to the Fortune and Freedom podcast, where Nigel Farage and Nikolai Hubble give you a unique take on what's really going on in the world of finance, investing, and politics. We hope you sit back and enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to your weekly update with, of course, Nigel Farage for Fortune and Freedom. Nigel, there's two surveys that quite recently I want to ask you about. The first, the results showed that nearly one in two in the UK fear running out of retirement funds. And that was a proper study by a fund or a pension research fund. And the second one, even more interesting, nearly half of Brits worried about pensions due to political instability. And that is not geopolitical instability. It is UK pension policy. So what do you make of this? Because we were all promised a pretty good retirement.
Yeah, we were until 1997. And what happened? A Labour government got in and without any pre-warning, without any debate in the general election campaign at all. And at the time, we prided ourselves on the best private pension provision in the Western world. Hard to believe, but all through the 90s, one of the great boasts that we had this amazing private sector pension provision. And what did Mr. Brown do? At his first budget, he put tax on dividend income within those pension schemes. And if you look at stock market growth, you know, compounded over 10, 20, 30 years, actually the real uptick comes from the reinvestment of dividend. And it was the attacking of the dividends that began a terrible downward spiral in what private pensions were providing. And I mean, millions of people in the last 25 years have retired effectively with about half the money that they genuinely expected to get. So the reason people are scared is that, well, when Sir John Curtis, who's the doyen of political commentators in Britain and the most respected figure in this field, when he, and he's not a rash man at all, when he says it's 99% certain that Keir Starmer is the next prime minister, people are going, yikes, they did it to us last time. What are they going to do to us again? If you add to that the way the pension industry have behaved, and by that I mean the compounded fees charged every year, you put those over 30 years, 25% of your money's gone. I mean, this is one of the reasons we started Fortune and Freedom in the first place, was people putting money trustingly into pension schemes and getting very, very poor results. And things hidden from people. I mean, I wonder how many people watching this now realize you're allowed to put gold bullion in your private pension. No one knows. Do you know why? Because once you bought it, there's no annualized income for the pension provider. Whereas if they're managing a portfolio and selling a bit of this and buying a bit of that, they can charge their fees. So at every level, people have a right to feel let down by government from what Brown did, fearful of what comes in the future, and deeply skeptical about the way this industry has behaved. And remember, at the end of Liz Truss's time, the LDI disaster that hit the markets, well, that was all about, you know, pension providers being stuffed long of gilts, which had not been performing for years, having to gamble with the extra bit on the edge. So look, I'm not telling people not to have private pensions. Of course they should, and there are still tax advantages in putting that money in. Jeremy Hunt has opened a bit of a window for people, particularly those running their own companies. And if you've got the opportunity, use that window, please, before Labour close it. But I think the really important thing is to have a sip. It's to manage your own pension. It's to make your own decisions. Whether you get it right, whether you get it wrong, should be down to you, not some third party who, frankly, has underperformed for at least the last quarter of a century. And I know the market's rallied a lot already, but do think about gold. You know, the returns on gold over the last 20 years have been really remarkable, averaging 8-9% a year. Yeah, sure, it shot up recently. So I think people need to spend time, need to read. But ultimately, as I say, back to the first time you and I ever sat down a few years back, you know, being controlled of your own destiny.
The thing that interests me here is that there's this odd combination between the fact people haven't saved enough for retirement, they're going to run out of money in their pension funds and their savings, and yet they suspect Labour is going to come after them. And that's an odd combination, right? Is this just a case of, well, you know,
some, the people who have saved enough are going to get punished for it because that's where the money is and the government needs it? Or is there something deeper going on?
Well, there's one other factor to remember that is beginning to dawn on pensioners or those coming up to pension age. And that is because of Jeremy Hunt's fiscal drag. All right, okay, we're getting all technical, but folks, basically, if you get the state pension and you've got a relatively modest private pension on top, you are about to start paying income tax. Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's true. Huge numbers of pensioners are going to be dragged into income tax. I mean, let alone the complexity and the worry and the letters and the administration. So that's another factor that is weighing very heavily, I think, on people's minds at the moment. So already, you know, if you've got private pension coming in, the Tories have put you in a slightly difficult position. And it's all well and good talking about triple lock and talking about how much pensions are going up. But if you start being taxed on relatively modest income, it's pretty bleak. And goodness only knows what Rachel Reeves with Labour will do. I think that window at the minute where you could put quite substantial amounts of money in backdated a few years, I repeat the point, use the window. Use the window. I'm convinced Labour will close it and maybe do more.
What are you expecting from Labour? Because I noticed, I think it was Joe Biden floated the idea of increasing the capital gains tax in the US, which is broadly similar policy to what we're talking about here. Is there anything in particular that you are expecting to pop out of the box as soon as the election is over?
I mean, on capital gains tax, the Tories have virtually abolished the limits anyway. It's going from £12,600 a year to £3,000 a year. So again, huge numbers of people being dragged into capital gains. And of course, you know, if they don't fit in their returns correctly or don't quite understand what they're doing or haven't got an accountant they're paying a fortune to, they're going to start finding very nasty letters and fines coming through the post. I mean, the whole thing is getting worse and worse and worse. I'm told that the UK tax code is now 21,000 pages long. It is the most bizarre, complicated tax system in the world. And even the most innocent I made a mistake last year. I was a few days late paying my tax bill, not through any willful. It was just on the desk and I hadn't quite got to it. I'd been busy. And I fined hundreds of pounds. I think £600 I was fined for being just a few days late. So I've reached the position, Nick, where I literally just chuck everything in an envelope or via email to my accountant. He does it all. But effectively, that means my tax rate's gone up a couple of percent because of what I've got to pay him every year to look after it. So we are in a right mess here. But I don't see anybody coming in the foreseeable future that's going to make any of this any easier at all. I'm afraid we are at a stage of big state, big government, and at a position where people who make their own private provision get penalised. I mean, you know, if you go to a retirement home, if you've not bothered to save anything all your life, the state pays. The state pays. If you've actually saved sensibly and modestly, and maybe you've got, I don't know, maybe you're 75 and maybe you've got 150 grand in a savings account somewhere, well, I'm afraid it's all going to go. So I wish I had easy answers to this. I don't. I don't. I really, really don't. But we are being taxed. I mean, the tax burden is now the highest since 1948, whichever way we look. So, you know, these are tough times for people. And I think those who've got something are worried about Labour coming in. But look, truth is, politically, the Conservatives have forfeited the right to be in government. You know, I mean, I put that in no uncertain terms.
Last but not least, I read an article about young people who are basically giving up on the pension system. They're not putting in any contributions because they want the money today to go and live the best possible their life they can with their travels and this sort of thing. They've given up on buying a house. They've given up on their pensions. They've given up on contributions. The main reason that they cited for this is complete uncertainty about what pension policy might be by the time they retire. So they see this as this political risk that we started with the pension system as a whole. Do you think they're right to do that or wrong?
I think it's deeper than that. I think that is a symptom of a much deeper problem. And that is that the culture of thrift has been destroyed. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, think about government policy since 2008, quantitative easing. You know, what has that done? Well, effectively, it's pumped assets it's pumped property prices, it's pumped the stock market. So if you've got considerable assets, the last 15 years have been, way. It's been fantastic. But when, I mean, you think about it, you know, you're 23, let's say, you've left university, you've got a reasonable degree, you've got a decent job, you know, you're working in Manchester or Birmingham or London, perhaps you're working for one of the big accountants or whatever it is. On paper, you know, your annual salary is really quite good. And what's the one thing? What's the one big thing that you want to do that your mum and dad did, that your grandparents did? You want to buy a house. But unless you've got family money from the bank of mum and dad, even working in Canary Wharf on a decent salary, you look at the property market in London, and I've seen this with relations of mine in their 20s, and I've said to them, come on, you've got to get it, you know, make sure you're putting into your pension. And what's the point, Dad? What's the point? Everything is so completely unaffordable. I may as well blow it, you know, down the pub at the weekend. So the culture of thrift has been destroyed. So I think worries about pension policy, I think it's a symptom that, you know, the effective cost of living for people is now so, so high that normal, sensible aspiration, things that we would have, things that I saved for in my 20s, now seem to be beyond reach.
It's a good reminder that the government can only redistribute wealth from one side to the next. It can't actually solve these underlying problems, which means if you're on the benefiting side, someone else must be missing out.
But we mustn't, through the messages we're putting out today, say to people, particularly young people, don't save, do save, do save. Don't get taken in. Don't get taken in by this new culture that says thrift is bad, thrift is pointless. You know, be one of the ones that stands alone, because goodness me, you know, if you're 25 now, by the time you get to retirement age, there ain't going to be a lot there coming from the state.
It's time to find some alternative investment strategies, and we've got a few of those coming out at Fortune Freedom in coming days. So please do check out fortunefreedom.com. Nigel, thanks very much for joining us. And Deborah at home, thanks for watching.